Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks.
Welcome to the Child Care Barn Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you not live and not live and in person. Anyway, I'm here in the Upstairs Studio in Iowa, and Lisa is in. I'm gonna say her place in New York, on her way soon to the bright rainy state of Florida. How you doing?
Exactly.
How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am good. Thank you very much.
So let's jump. No, I got to tell you a story before we jump into this. This happened the other day. I'm out walking the dogs, and they saved a life.
Oh, they did? From the baby Jesus nativity scene?
No, this was... maybe a life wasn't saved. Maybe a nose job was saved. I don't know. But so we walk by this one route we go. We walk by a hospital. It's about half a mile from my house. And there's we usually go by about the same time every day. And going from the parking area into the hospital, we see some of the people all the time because we're kind of crossing paths. And we've got nodding relationships with a couple people, right? So that's kind of thing. And so the other morning, one of these people that we had this nodding relationship with is going by, and I've got my earbuds in, and I'm trucking along, and she says, kind of loudly, just because she sees the earbuds, is kind of like, hey, can I bother you for a second? I really need some attention from your dogs.
Oh.
And I stop, and I pull out the earbuds, and I'm like, yeah, sure, they're eager to give people attention, but they're going to want to jump on you. And she's like, I don't care, I'm having a crappy day, and I need to love on some puppies before I go into surgery.
Oh, shit.
And so the dogs are jumping up on her, and she's rubbing their heads and getting them all riled up, and she goes from kind of somber looking to just grinning, and I'm like loving this, and she's just mud, because it's like 34 degrees, and the snow is melting, and her scrubs are just covered, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, I don't care. And she's like, well, I gotta get in there. We got a surgery to do. And she takes off. I don't know if she's a surgical nurse, if she's a doctor, what's going on, but she walked off smiling and in a better mood after loving on the pups for a little bit. So
well,
I'm saying they saved a life.
I guarantee that person probably has a much successful surgical recovery because she was in a good spot going into that.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know that. Your mood dictates the tone of the day. I don't care who you are. You wake up on the wrong side of bed. If you don't know how to give yourself an attitude adjustment, that's going to hang with you the rest of the day.
Yeah, and the fact that she knows herself enough to know that this thing, this 40-second interaction with these pups is going to snap me out of the wrong side of the bed morning and put me in a better mental place to do my job, that's a great bit of self-knowledge.
It is.
Oh,
it is.
Crap. I got another morning dog story that's kind of related. Man, this might end up being a different episode.
I think this is going to be the episode. Keep going.
Okay, so on another day within the last 2 weeks, we're on another part of our walking route where we're going by a construction site where they're building a new elementary school. And we're right at sunup is when we're going by, and so the guys are pulling up in their trucks and getting the cement mixed chicks are going and that kind of stuff. And we got, again, we got nodding relationships with a couple of people like, hey, yeah, not nice one this morning, that kind of stuff. And yeah. And so the other day I see one of these guys, we've got this nodding relationship at 6:30 going into the site Porta Toilet. And I'm thinking it is 22 degrees out with a bit of wind, so it's feeling like 15 degrees out, and the sun isn't up yet, and he's walking into this portable toilet, and so I yell to this guy, I yell, you waited to get to the job site? Because he's coming from home. And he stops, and he turns, and he says, at home, I have a wife and four daughters. The youngest daughter is 10, and we've got a house with 1.5 bathrooms. This is just easier.
Oh, my God. A 15-degree porta potty.
And I'm just cracking up because I'm thinking, my first thought was maybe I should invite him over to Intergalactic Headquarters here, yeah. where between Tosh and I, we've got 2.5 bathrooms each. And yeah. So, you know, stop by the house for a poop before you go to the job site. It's nice and warm. Tosh will have coffee for you.
We won't even know you're there. Yeah. Just come in the back.
Just come in the kitchen. And this poor guy, he's just like, oh, just to keep the peace, I'm going to poop at the job site in the dark and the cold because I just don't want to deal with all that.
See, but that circles back to even your first anecdote. He knows what he needs
exactly
to take care of himself.
Yeah.
Whereas if he fought and did whatever then you show up at work and you're crabby because you had to share the bathroom and you only got 5 minutes, but you wanted 10, you know, I don't know what the guy's, you know, what's in his head.
Yeah. Just trying to avoid a fight with the wife or the daughter. Or, I mean, I can't imagine four daughters. I had one and it was more, it broke me. But yeah, it's a knowing what you need and doing what it takes to get to the point where you're maintaining the relationships you need to and able to do your job.
I also it's almost preventative medicine, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have any of those things that will snap you out of those? Up on the wrong side of the bad moods or keep the peace or whatever it is?
There's like loud music will often snap me out of it, like loud, like old, like power rock music, like, you know, 80s big hair bands, you know, like Def Leppard.
And, yeah.
You know, that kind of shit usually snap me out because I'm, you know, I think it's a cathartic release. I'm screaming, I'm yelling, you know, rah! And then usually by the time, you know, you drive around the block a couple times, I'm feeling better. And yoga, definitely, you know, a lot taking, being on the trail, cooking, definitely, you know, and I know that about myself. And I think I've shared that on the web, on the podcast. If I don't get an opportunity to cook and prepare food on a regular basis, if I don't get an opportunity to work out on a regular basis, I know, I mean, I have about a 5-day window of how long I can go without those things in my life before I'm like, okay, getting crabby. Like my feet get hot too. So like this last couple of weeks, seriously, like it's been cold and it's like, well, just wear your Uggs. And so I do, cause it looks cute, but then I've got the flip flops in the bag because I know I can't maintain this. My feet are going to get hot. So why subject everybody else to me being crabby just so I can look cute?
In my whole life, I can't recall ever thinking, oh, I should wear that because it looks cute.
Well, I don't often look in the mirror and go, damn, I look cute today. So, you know, if I'm feeling that vibe, I'm going to run with it. I'm looking cute today, but bring the flips.
This just popped into my head. If you were director of a program or principal of a school, and I don't know, Miss Becky calls in and she says, had a bad morning. I'm going to be 10 minutes late because I got to drive around the block listening to some Def Leppard.
I'd be like, see you in 15 minutes.
I think that's the response we need to those things, because when and of course Miss Becky should probably make that phone call saying, hey, I got to get my head in the right place before I walk into that room of children, and not just show up late, because that just that starts a downward spiral in other areas. But to have a work environment where you can do that, I think is kind of a valuable thing if we can kind of cultivate that kind of relationship with our coworkers. And I think same for parents at the end of the day. If dad calls and says, I'm going to be a little bit late for picking up the kids, it's been a rough day and I got to get my head clear before picking up my two toddlers, I'm kind of cool with that. Now if he's headed to the bar for 2 hours, I might have some pushback, but I think there needs to be room and some give and take for those kind of things.
I think so too. When I had my center, my mom was kind of the front desk meter greeter, and she would tell some parents that, you know, she's like, I would rather have you call me and say I'm running late or I'm in a hurry to get to the next stop, can you meet me with the kid in the parking lot?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of coming in and bringing all that frantic energy in with you, you know, and my mom was really good about that. She was good at being able to identify, is this, you know, this is really an exception, or is this going to turn into a pattern? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I agree 100%. While you were talking, I actually wrote down, I'm like, okay, Lisa, bring this back to early childhood, And it reminded me of two things. One, the story that you've all heard me tell about the teacher who stepped out of the classroom while I was talking to her director and looked down the hallway and said very loudly, I need to be tapped out.
Yeah.
And that the director, one, responded. Two, that the teacher felt exactly what you just said, that relationship of that environment there was so strong and supportive that they knew that they were able to ask for what they were needing. So they didn't get all wrapped up in something just because she maybe was afraid to ask for some assistance, you know, worried about what are they going to think about me, or I'm not a good teacher. There was none of that going on. I need some help. Let's go make that happen. And the other thing that I was thinking of is the idea of the investment of the time invested in Miss Becky driving around the block for 15 minutes. That's an investment in her productivity and her relationship with those children for the rest of the day. Me showing up to school 20 minutes before the kids, I know I'm not going to get paid for it, unfortunately, but it's an investment for the rest of the day because, you know, I'm able to get the room ready. And maybe that 20 minutes is when I am getting my head in the right zone, when I'm having that cup of coffee that's the only warm one I'm going to have all day, you know, and the room is ready to receive. So I'm going to be calm as they come in calm. Whereas if we all walk in and the trash hasn't been taken out and there's no paint in the paint cups and the chairs are still on the table, I'm going to get frantic. The kids are going to meet me at that frantic plateau. And the whole morning is going to be off kilter.
Yeah, they're not only going to meet you there; they're gonna do their best to push you over the edge, because they're gonna feed off of that, and that just starts, you start spiraling down into that black hole together. Back in our caregiver days, back in the center, and we were doing family care. We tried to be conscious about this with the school agers too, before school. And after school, but before school, you know, there's always a kind of a rush. You know, you get dropped off at the program and you have breakfast, and then a little bit later you got to head out to another place and get to school, that kind of stuff. And do you have your homework done and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of kids really get stressed out during those early parts of the day. And that sets the mood for the whole school day. So we tried to be as chill as we could. In those hours, and then after school, it was that decompression time that kids need as they transfer into they make that transition into their after school behavior, because there's all that pent up energy and trying to find releases for that and not jumping right into the, well, you got your homework done, because the last thing they want to do after sitting for half a day trying to keep their hands and feet to themselves is fucking jump right into the homework.
What do you mean half day? That's a full day.
Oh yeah. And
plus they're tired. And I don't think we give ourselves the opportunity to really excuse me for coughing, about how serious that is. Would, if you, I mean, being tired and overly tired is just like having, having a hangover. I mean, you can't function if you're tired, and kids don't get enough sleep, and we forget that. We're always really, I think, mindful of the little guys, you know, gotta go to bed early, gotta get rested. But older kids, especially adolescents and high schoolers, they need just as much sleep, and they don't get it. I see kids, going back to the bus conversation, I see kids in the neighborhood down in Florida walking to the bus stop. It's dark out. It's like 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, why are you going? You need to be in bed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at Seattle, what is it, a year ago now, maybe it's 2 years now, there's just an article. They've changed their start time later time. And it's been running long enough. They've got some preliminary research in and are seeing very positive effects from the later school start times for exactly that reason. And again, it affects that mood and outlook in the classroom.
Sure it does.
So I think that, you know, as individuals, we need to pay attention to this. As parents and caregivers, we need to pay attention to this. And apparently, as dog owners, we need to pay attention to this. If you're out with your dog, you got to find somebody that needs a snuggle, I guess. I don't know.
Yes. Well, and I think it's also good modeling. I mean, I think it's very, very appropriate for children to see adults asking for assistance, asking for what they're needing. You know, hey, I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now. I'm going to go get, you know, teacher Paul to come in and help me for a little bit, you know, or whatever. But
yeah,
like that speakerphone of walking them through what's going on in your head, because they're constantly watching and they're taking cues from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, just, it has an influence on everything we do. It's not just school and childcare and work, but we're recording now fairly early for us in the day, right? We usually record in the afternoons. Even when you're in studio, we don't always get started as early as we started today. And so I had to mindfully, you know, change up my morning routine a little bit to make sure I was in the right headspace to podcast this morning and getting up a little bit earlier, a little bit shorter walk with the dogs, make sure I got the same time to drink my tea and read the news, that kind of stuff, so that we can be engaged for this kind of thing. And so it has to do with all the activities we engage in, time with our sweetie pies and whatever it is, getting yourself in the right headspace is a valuable and important thing to do. It's not just if you're going into surgery.
Exactly.
It can be so, well, you know, there's things like surgery and there's things like podcasting. And we all know in the grand scope of the universe, the podcasting is much more important than some little surgery, because it impacts a much bigger audience. So,
oh, you funny.
Anything we got before we wrap this one up? This was kind of an accidental episode because this was totally not what we were going to talk about.
I know, but that's happened a few times over the years, like the accidental episodes. You know, we came to the table, so to speak, to talk about something, but you know, the anecdote you kicked off with, I think that's actually good modeling, right? I mean, it's like the plan for circle time, we deviated from it today, and at the end of the day, it's just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we got a minute or two. Tease what we're going to talk about in the next episode. Just a tiny little tease. What do we think we're going to talk about in the next episode?
Well, I'll tell you how the idea jumped in my head. I woke up this morning, and as I was waking up, I thought, there's a lot of people who have to do computers every day in the classroom, i.e. technology, but they're not allowed to use a crayon-melting warming tray because one is thought to be dangerous and the other one is thought to be required.
Let's leave it right there, and we'll come back with that episode. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. This has been episode 458 of the Child Care.
Can you believe it?
That's a lot of fucking episodes. but people are still listening to them. Hey, Lisa Murphy, thanks for podcasting with me. I'm Jeff Johnson. That's Lisa Murphy. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for tuning in and sharing and listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.